Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Tim Lacombe joins us right now for his weekly conversation. Coach, how are you? What are we requesting today?
That's a band called Motorhead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Motorhead.
I know Motorhead. I didn't know
that. The Party Hounds played that song. That's a fun one. I just thought I'd raise the... I don't know. Did you guys need maybe their pulse to pick up? I thought maybe that would do that.
Motorhead, is that like, that's one of the earliest hard rock, like heavy metals, isn't it?
Yeah, they're like speed metal. Yeah, they're from England.
But they're not death metal.
They sound like they're on speed.
Well, I would imagine at one point in their careers that might have been a possibility, Scott.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were active from 75. Their lead vocalist and famous member, there's actually an awesome documentary about him, Lemmy Kilminster. And he's a bad boy of rock and roll. So yeah, check it out. Just open a new avenues for your Idaho minds to see the big world.
Is this documentary called This Is Spinal Tap?
I would imagine it's similar.
Very
similar.
That was
a good one, buddy. I liked it.
How you holding up? You doing all right?
Oh, you can tell I'm a little. You can tell I'm a little frazzled, man. It's you get to this point in the season. I've done every game, except for one that I did state tournament. So I kind of consider that I was working. You know, it's not like I took it off to go. The bowling league or whatever, you know? So I have been pretty immersed in this for going on 82 nights. And yeah, it's unlike the college season when you never know when it's going to end. This year, I know when this one will end. It is on the calendar.
10-game losing streak, something we haven't seen since the 80s. You know, when you look at this losing streak, I don't even know how to ask the question. I mean, how intentional, I guess, do you feel like this 10-game winning streak is?
Well, I think, you know, I think when the trade deadline went and the moves were made, and again, I want to preface this by saying I think the right thing was done because I think the Jazz now, it looks like they've got a real shot at 8. And so you move up without having to, you know, give really anything up. And, you know, I think everybody was headed, we knew this team was headed for, at the deadline, was headed for a non-playoff season. What I do like about it, to be honest with you guys, I think the losses are not all equal. I think early in the process after the trade deadline, there were so many things that resembled the first of the year where guys were just trying to get on the same page again. There were a ton of lineups that hadn't played much together. And, I mean, it does take time. I know that's, you know, contrary to fans' expectation, stuff like that takes time. And so there was more of that in the beginning of the season. I saw some of that then after the trade deadline. And then there were some really rough games, you know, where effort maybe was an issue and coach called that out. I think since that point, even though there have been losses, there have been some really good things happening, particularly with the young players. And like I said, you know, if a 10-game losing streak, you move up in the draft in one spot, you know, so be it. I don't think it was intentional necessarily, but I think just the ingredients of it, I don't know that there was a whole lot of wiggle room.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone, as the Jazz wrapping up the end of the season. Taylor Hendricks is, again, continuing to show some signs of things to be excited about, but the shooting of Bryce Sensabaugh, I thought, was really impressive the other night. Just what have you seen from him? We've talked about Keyonte George early in the year, and then it kind of shifted to Hendricks, and now Sensabaugh is showing some ability that he might be able to stick in this league for a little bit.
Yeah, it's I keep saying this in pre and post, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but it really is true. Every guy's journey is a one-off, and I think for each of these guys, you know, their first year in the NBA has been vastly different. But I think what we're seeing is there was a method to the madness, because in each case, I think in Sensabaugh's case, he needed to lose some, you know, he needed to lose some weight. He had been injured. He needed to get toned up, and he needed to play a lot of minutes. And in that order, he kind of did that. And he did a great job. When I went down and did a couple Stars games this year, he was the story. And it wasn't just the fact that he could score. His court vision was very apparent. You know, he sees the floor great. So he's a great offensive weapon that we knew when the Jazz drafted him late. There was a lot of value there if you could get all those other things kind of done. So Jazz have kind of done the heavy lifting now. And, you know, Bryce has done the heavy lifting. And I think what we're seeing is that he's a guy that, like you said, Scotty, I think he can stay in this league for a long time because he gives great effort on the defensive end. Whether he's right or wrong, the dude's flying around out there on the defensive side. So he's really trying there. And then offensively, he's just got a gift. You know, some guys have a gift to put that orange orb through that hoop. And he's got that ability. He's a bucket getter.
Well, to that point, you know, we watched Rodney Hood jump into this league with the Utah Jazz and showed some inconsistencies at the start and was with the Jazz for three seasons and then moved on to Toronto and went on to Portland and Milwaukee and through a bunch of teams and played all the way till 2022. He had eight seasons in the league and ended with 36% from three. Never really found what he had in college, but existed for a long period of time. And Coach, I don't understand how a guy like Rodney Hood, who was such a sweet shooter in college, never really found that stroke in the NBA. Why does it seem like some guys struggle from college to the NBA with their shot?
You know, sometimes it's just generally the distance. You know, it's almost like my drives. You know, you never have to worry outside of about 225. That's about the landing area. And then I play with guys that are like 350, you know, and I think some guys really have the ability to shoot from deep, and that's become way more of a thing. Obviously, Steph kind of brought that into fruition. But some guys just struggle with that. And then mechanics, you know, you can have decent mechanics to a certain level, but when you, again, you're exerting more force, you're affecting the ball a little bit differently to make it go further. You know, there's technique stuff that maybe is a little flawed from distance. There's a lot of things that impact it. I would say then also the speed, size, and the ability to contest that you have probably never seen before in your life. In fact, you haven't. You know, that probably has a little bit of a bearing. So I think between all those variables, there's probably, I think there's probably an answer for most guys, you know, but not, I don't think there's one pat answer.
How do you think Will Hardy's handled this situation? This is not an easy situation to be in, and not particularly fun, I'm sure, from his competitive perspective. But kind of give me your thoughts on what you've seen from him during this, not just this last stretch, but over the first, you know, 2 years as head coach.
So, you know, I think speaking about this stretch in particular, and really this stretch being this season's been difficult, I think, you know. Getting out of the gates last year, the Jazz had no issue. This year, there were some issues. And again, you're breaking in a new starting lineup that affects spacing. I would say to your question, how has Will Hardy handled it? I'd say he's handled it like a long-term veteran coach, which speaks volumes because he's only been and long-term veteran head coach. He's only been a head coach for this amount of time, but I think he's handled it like a you'd hope any guy would after 20 years. I think his commitment basically to growing these guys has been second to none. I think he's been there when things have been difficult. I think he has had to raise his voice a little bit this year and, you know, set expectations and non-negotiables, which he's done very, very well. I think he's got the respect of the locker room. In fact, I know he does. And I think that all that being said, it's been really freaking hard. I think, Coach Rose used to say to me, you know, I'd get up to give him a suggestion, you know, on a game or something, and get up and say something to him while he's standing up there. And he's like, you know, he's like, well, okay, that'd be a great idea, but why don't you stand up here right now with your pants down, basically, you know, and you're down 20, Mr. Answer Man. But it's totally true. He's the one we think Utah Jazz and on a nightly basis. He's the one on that sideline trying to figure it out. So, again, I think it's been difficult. But the one thing I want to say, he's in the loop big time. Not like these moves, you know, like I've heard these things where he's had the carpet pulled out from under him and all this. There's none of that. All this stuff's been ultra communicated. But that being said, it's still hard because you're competitive and you want to win.
Well, I sure like Coach Hardy. I like his candor and his honesty. And he's stayed consistent in his post games, Coach, in the ones that I've watched over this season. He's stayed consistent. So now we look at Clippers twice. We look at the Warriors twice. We see the Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets all on the Jazz schedule to finish. So do we see the Jazz finish on a 16-loss run in this season? Or do you see a win in here somewhere?
Well, the one thing I will say is the end of the year gets a little bit squirrely, right? And depending on who has a playoff spot locked up and that sort of thing, I think you look at these teams, and Houston and Golden State are both fighting for that last spot. As it looks right now, Golden State's going to win, and I'm going to hold Mike Smith a shake because we had a bet on it. Knowing Mike, he'll probably want me to fly him to some neat place in Times Square that has $750 shakes, but because we didn't define the parameters, but I'm hoping it's just like a great shake from JCW's, one of
there
our
you
great
go.
Sponsors.
Something reasonable.
Yeah, something reasonable. But Mike, you know, Mike's reasonable, but he's got a little panache.
He's got, look, you don't live a life like Mike Smith and not have expensive tastes.
I thought I had it made till I saw his car pull up and his driver open the door for him to get him out for a game. That's when I knew that I'm not getting the same check this guy's getting.
Yeah, when you're in the media mill lounge and somebody's cutting up his steak for him, you know that's a different tax bracket right there.
Take that rubbish back. It's a little too tender for my liking.
I need the same amount of blueberries in every muffin. Every muffin? Yes.
So
every
anyhow,
muffin.
I'm sorry, I got us off on a tangent. It's fun.
Was that Seinfeld? I want blueberries in the same amount.
No, that's Casino. That was Robert De Niro.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew that was a movie.
So when you look at how this team ends the season, is there anything – I mean, let's just be honest. You know, it's just the three of us talking right now. Is there anything we can learn over these last stretch of games? Is there anything really to accomplish outside of just maybe getting guys more reps?
Well, and really the crazy thing is those reps are so valuable. When you start to put a pencil on what these guys are getting paid, you know, and the amount of resources invested, like these reps, there's money attached to them. And I know, like, to us, it's just flippant reps at the end of the season on a team that, you know, did not make the playoffs. But, like, what we're seeing from Bryce right now and, you know, him starting to get confidence, I hope Keontae can get it on a heater again. He's struggled to score, but I think fatigue's really hit him. He was right, and Coach mentioned this, he was right perfect about 20, 25 minutes. And now he's, like, extended into the 30s, and he's starting games and getting, he's the guy on the scouting report probably that everybody's saying you got to stop this guy. So he's seeing some of that right now. And that's a great lesson, even though it's difficult, Same with Taylor. You know, Taylor had an awesome game the other night, 18 points, 4 for 6 on three. So if he could build on that, it's just barriers that you break down now that you don't have to wait till next year. Like, hey, I got this. I can do this. A springboard, I guess, in the next year is the way I'd look at it. Walker Kessler was playing, you know, played two of his best games in terms of flying around and impacting things. And then he got, you know, broken nose the other night. So that was no fun. And we'll see what happens with his return. But that's the stuff, Scotty, I think that you – That's what's out there. And I think it is more than just, you know, just reps. I think reps really are, I think that's what's really valuable right now.
Coach, we had Sam Merrill on, and he was fantastic. Just such a great interview.
I mean, he's the most arrogant guy you've ever met.
Well, he and Scotty live in the same part of Bountiful.
Oh, whoa.
But he was so good, Coach. What is it about him that he's been able to make it in the league for 4 years, and what can he do to better himself to continue to make that dream a reality?
Well, I think contrary to what I said, and number one is he's just an absolutely amazing human being. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day why he made it, you know, why did he break through? And obviously he's so talented. You know, his ability to impact games in big moments, you know, to be he was such a leader in high school and college, and has found a place in that locker room in Cleveland. And I think it is. He's just a good guy. He was raised by great parents who kept things in perspective. And I don't know, he obviously wanted to be in the NBA, but it wasn't a, you know, burn everything down that we can. And you know, talking about a guy who wanted to go to Utah State from the outset, went there, went through a coaching change, went through difficulty his first year, not playing as much as he probably wanted to. And much like Jimmer, he just stayed the course. And instead of like, now it's like everybody's looking to jump. You know, the minute the season's over, hashtag that being said, I'm out of here. You know, Sam had the vision, the wherewithal, the understanding that, you know, building something, a legacy, like that stuff matters. And, you know, I think that's what some of these guys who bounce around when they get done at the end, it's going to be like, what, you know, what was all that? It's just going to be more like, you know, job interviews and moving place to place. But I think what Sam embodies is kind of that dude that just had a dream, worked his tail off, you know, went through some adversity. But in the end, you know, talent can't be denied. And I think this year has put a stamp on it. I think this guy's, you know, I think he's going to have a place in this league for a while. I just think he's separating himself as one of the real premier shooters in the league.
Well, hang tight. We're gonna have another segment with you coming up next. We'll try to see what else we can come up with our bumper music coming up for next segment. What are you thinking?
I'll let you guys make the call this time.
No.
You guys share something with me that you like.
Oh, you know, let's do this. Scotty's going to come up with one. I'm going to come up with one. You tell us which one.
And then I'll guess
who it was. Yeah, you tell us who came up with it and who you liked better.
Man, you've got a great future in radio, man. How long have you been doing this?
I just ride Scotty's coattails. That's all I do.
Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. They've got great financing options, 0% on some of these models, 1.9%, 2.9%. Essentially, you're going to see rates that are going to be much, much lower than what you're going to get at a credit union or a bank right now on these new vehicles. You're just not going to find these kind of rates anywhere else. And when you throw in the forever warranty, you throw in that peace of mind with a number that you can actually stomach and can afford, Hans, it's a no-brainer why you need to be down here and getting going on these vehicles.
That's true, and I want you to come in and find Rich, and Rich is going to get you set up. He's going to help you with whatever you need. And I know this, there's Leafs out on the lot, and those Leafs have never been more affordable. Those electric vehicles have never been more affordable than they are right now with this insane discount. Rich, this has got to be, what, double what you've ever seen on a Leaf?
At least double,
right?
Yeah. You know, well, these are pressing times, my friends. And now's the time for the manufacturer to step up if he wants to move more cars and keep our clients happy. And that's why you have something like $8,500 sitting there, sitting in the bank.
To move the cars.
Just waiting just to move the cars. So, you know, I have a half a dozen of them here right now, and we can get our hands on different colors or whatever you want. And, you know, there's probably 25, 30 of them in the state. So, yeah, come in, take a look at them, take them for a drive, and you'll find that it is a spectacular ride. And they're fully, fully functional with all the bells and whistles you could ever think of. And it's an absolutely wonderful machine.
How do they hold their value?
Excellent. Anytime you got a car that doesn't use gas, done.
It's holding its value.
Yeah. The more gas price goes up, the higher those cars cost. And really, when you think about what's going on here today with that kind of $8,500 rebate on them, it's Nissan wants Tim to buy more of them. Well, let's clear out your inventory, Tim. Let's clear out all the inventory in Utah. And so that Tim will buy some more and put them on a lot. Because production never stops.
Yeah. Well, and if you need something bigger, you have the Aria, too. That's the electric vehicle.
That's another one. And that's an absolutely wonderful machine all by itself. So, yeah, when you come in, you can drive the Leaf. You can look at the Aria. You know, depending on what you want, the Versa, Sentra, Altima, Maxima, you know, Kicks, Rogues. We have 14 different models.
I love it.
So, you know, come on down here and just have some fun. Pretend like it's Disneyland. Go on a ride. Okay.
4528 South State Street. We got a chance for you to win tickets to a RSL game. You have a chance to walk out of here with some jazz gear. We got all kinds of goodies as well. It's all at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. 4528 South State Street, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
With you wherever you go. Download the KSL Sports app to get live streaming of your favorite shows.
Downloading.
Download the latest podcasts and get all the latest breaking news on the teams you can't live without. Everything you need delivered right to your phone.
Let's go get them where we can get them.
Just search KSL Sports on your app store of choice. Download it now. The KSL Sports app, presented by University of Utah Health. Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two songs.
Tim, who would have come up with this one?
Tim Lacombe joining us. Coach, you there?
Was I right? Yeah,
what'd
I'm
you
here.
Say? Okay, we didn't hear.
Scotty. Oh, sorry. I said Scotty.
Yeah, that's me.
This is a Scotty song.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah, I know my people, man.
You do. You know, the three of us talk about our jam sessions. Each of us have been able to sit in on some Tim Lacombe jam session. People don't know how much music moves you. Like, music, okay, if you could only have one or the other, and the other was shut out for the rest of your life, would you take music or sports?
Music.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree with them, too. I mean, I'd be out of a job, but
yeah. Or no, you'd go back to slinging country songs.
I didn't see it, but man, that music's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh man,
favorite concert all time, Coach.
Oh man, there's so many great ones. I don't know if I got a favorite all time, like, but I'll tell you about a cool one. We were at the Final Four in Indianapolis, and they have a concert series at the Final Four every year. And so it's kind of neat, free to the public, but at the same time, that makes it crazy. And it rained a bunch, and they did it in this big park in the middle of town, all this grass. So it was, like, crazy soggy. And anyway, it was perilous is the point I'm trying to make. But the band that night was Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, wow.
With Weiland?
With my guy, you know, that left us, Scotty. And it was Scott Weiland. It was unbelievable. I went with Mike Burns and Ray Giacoletti, and we trudged through the rain a couple blocks. We stopped at Steak and Shake and got, like, reinforced.
Yep.
And we got all the way through that big old mushy bowl. And Bernie had worked as a bouncer before at concerts, so he's a kind of a bigger guy with a big old cranium. If anybody gets out of line, he pops them with it. And so anyhow, we got behind him, and I swear to you, like, people waiting in line all day. And we got down there, and about the time we hit probably 8th, 10th row, they came out. And I'm serious. I mean, Mike, there's part of my soul that's still on fire from that night. Wow. It was crazy cool. So that's one. I've been to a million, but that one stands out right now because it's the Final Four.
Oh, man, that would have been a good one. I went to the Stone Temple Pilots, this reboot. They've got a new voice, but this last summer I was out there, got to hear the Stone Temple Pilots songs, but no Waylon in it makes a lot of difference. I was sitting next to a guy that has followed the Stone Temple Pilots from day one, and he said that Stone Temple Pilots with Waylon were amazing when he was sober, and he said, but the non-sober years, kind of the back end of his life, he said it was not good Stone Temple Pilots.
No, it was rough. It was really rough. So I got to see him. He was kind of in a good spot. I mean, he was still edgy and all that. And he weighed like 62 pounds. But he had this, out in recess when the lady sees, you know, I'm sure Hans probably climbing something he should have, and they have the, please get off the wall, one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
And they can hit the little siren part. Anyway, he had one of those. He had one of those that night, and he would occasionally pick it up and sing through it, which was cool. But yeah, those guys, the DeLeo brothers kind of formed that band. That they've got a lot of spunk, that group.
So Denver's your clear cut favorite, obviously, in the West. But who's a team that they should be scared of in a 7-game series? Is it Minnesota? Is it Oklahoma City? Is it the Clippers? Who's the team that they would fear the most in a 7-game set?
I think, you know, if the Clippers are right, it's going to be interesting to watch them because for all intents and purposes, I mean, that team is built for the playoffs. You know, they don't have the supporting cast, and certainly the older guys are older. But when you look at how the playoff games played a little bit differently, more rugged, more physical, let a little more go. I think that, I think that favors the Clippers. But, you know, the Denver's just so polished and they don't get frazzled. They've kind of been there. But I think that that's probably one. And then Oklahoma City is intriguing because, you know, they're playing such great basketball. They're so young. The playoffs hit, and we'll see. But it's going to be kind of their first, you know, run through it all. And they're a scary team in nature, but I just wonder what the playoffs will do to them. Minnesota, I love Minnesota, and I love the comments coming out yesterday from Anthony Edwards. He was not on the Rudy train last year. And by no surprise, the team didn't do very well. But I think this year they worked through a lot of stuff. It's been impressive. And I think they're poised to make a run. It will just be, can they overcome what everybody has been able to do to Rudy in the playoffs, you know, space them out. I think they're better defensively. They're longer than those Jazz teams. So, I don't know that it'll have as much bearing. But each three bring a unique challenge. I would say, you know, just at face value, as crazy as it sounds, the Clippers in the playoffs, they probably, given all that, would be the biggest threat.
If you had an MVP vote, who did you give it to right now, Coach?
I'd give it to Jokic. I just think he's the best player on the planet. I think he impacts winning the most, and it certainly made Denver is going to be a many-time participant in the finals. We'll see how many they can get. But I just think he's the best player, and that's what I'm about, is rewarding the best player.
27, 12, and 9 currently, Scotty.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, his numbers are above, and like Scotty mentioned, where Denver sits as the best team in the West. Now they're second in terms of wins, but we know who the most primed team is to jump out of the West, and that's probably Denver. But I take into account how much his team wins and then the importance he plays. If you took him off that Denver team, good luck with Denver.
Yeah, and I know there would be a vote for Shea too, but I think his time's coming. I mean, guys get passed over in great years. He's had a great year, and he's led his team to, you know, something they've never been, which is awesome. And then, you know, I think you throw in, you know, just what they do in the playoffs, you know, going forward, will have a bearing. It shouldn't, but it has a bearing next year. So just interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. But that's how I'd vote if I had one.
How do you look at Philadelphia if Embiid is even close to being 100%? Because I think it'd be funny if Boston all of a sudden, you know, fights like crazy, wins 60 games, they're the one seed, and all of a sudden they draw Embiid in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. I wondered that same thing. I think it's something to watch for sure. I think the bottom line is they're way better, but it's just is how healthy is he? Man, I love Maxey. And Maxey has tried his best watching night to night, the numbers he's been putting up. So he's going to actually have a little more in the tank, which happens when you lose a really good player. So maybe if Embiid's not all the way there, he can make up the difference. And if they were to face off, that would be absolutely crazy.
We're getting closer and closer to seeing a one-and-done play-in game between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. Two all-time legends having to play in for an opportunity to play another game to get a playoff spot. But a one-and-done between the two. Who comes out of that matchup?
Now, I picked Houston, so I don't know. I mean, you'll probably, if you go on my wisdom, you'll end up owing somebody a shake. So be careful. Man, that is an interesting one. Oof. I think I would probably side at this point with the Lakers because I watched what LeBron did in the in-season tournament situation, and he looked like he was in his 20s again. I think they have a little more to work with, you know, if everybody can get right. So, yeah, I'll pick the Lakers in that one. And so, yeah, go ahead and make sure you pencil the Warriors through if it happens.
Yeah.
Well, we have seen Draymond Green come back around, suspension after suspension and ejections, and the dude is an absolute termite. He is a cockroach. You can't
kill
lunatic,
him. Man. Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, think about like every day if Hans came in and, you know, verbally abused Lloyd and, you know, Lloyd was trying to get help, but he just the organization kept letting him do it.
You know, what's this guy doing?
And the point I was making is, yes, you're treading the line a little bit, Hans. And I know you've had to drive to Logan a lot lately, but you can tone down your temper.
You know? You did catch me on a drive to Logan, and we did a jam session. That was a beautiful moment.
We did, baby. I was impressed with your mobile Wi-Fi. Very impressive.
Yeah, it held on through Sardine.
Yep. Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us, and have an enjoyable week. And remember, the end is in sight. You're almost there.
Hey, I heard you talk to Craig the other day.
Yeah.
Smith, and he mentioned something about a barbecue that you guys never seem to get to.
Correct.
Well, he and I have a lunch date for 2 years we never seem to get to, so maybe we could coordinate it and knock a bunch of things out that day.
Oh, I like that.
So let's talk about it. You know what I mean?
Well, this year there will be a station barbecue at the Girard House. I've talked about it. I did one a while ago, and we keep talking about it, but we never can get everybody on the same schedule. So this year it's going to happen. Know that you're going to be invited to that, but then we can also rope another one in with Craig too, so.
All right. If you need a band, I got a lead on one. I can get you a band for the backyard.
What do you think about the party hounds on that back deck area that I had redone?
I mean, I think it'd be a miracle.
We'd probably bring we'd bring it down. Like, wow, that deck was neat till they came.
That thing's elevated a little bit. I mean, I think that's a perfect stage area.
I think it'd be a miracle. Coach, you better bring your fixed gold buddy that headbutts people to get some security going. Because I'm gonna storm that stage.
He reminds me of you, you big lug.
I've never used my skull to crush somebody's face, though. I'm not saying
I
would.
Yeah, but you've bit people.
Yeah, I will bite. I'll pull your hair. I'll spit at you. That's for sure.
Hey, look, when you're trying to be nice, like you hug me, it hurts.
Those hugs are all full of love.
Love can be painful sometimes.
Yep.
Coach, you're the best. Thanks.
All right, see you guys.
There he is, the great Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Finishing the season on a 16-game losing streak.
Ooh, doggy.
It's a reality that's becoming more and more real. It'd be a harsh thing. What's the all-time losing streak record for the Jets?
That's a great question.
Because we got to go back into the 80s to find the 10-game losing streak.
Yep. So we'd have to be in. Well, I don't know how long that streak, when that ended.
The problem is Golden State, you play them twice, they're fighting for that 10 spot.
Yep.
You've got the Clippers twice, and the Clippers are fighting for positioning. And then you've got the Nuggets, and the Nuggets could beat you in their sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only one might be the Houston Rockets, because Houston is pretty much disqualified at this point. They're three games back of that 10 spot. So, by the time you play Houston, they're going to be eliminated.
Yeah.
Maybe, but Houston just skated by at home with a home win there in the Delta Center. They beat them by 1 point.
Yeah.
Jazz should have won that game. So, maybe the Jazz go on the road and get that win against Houston and don't finish on a 16-game slide? Maybe.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not. Hans and Scotty will wrap this bad boy up next. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Jared Calhoun, Utah State men's basketball coach.
I was pretty direct for my next move. Obviously wanted to go somewhere with just a great fan base. We have a fun style. We average 83, 84 points a game. Kids are going to want to play for us. I had watched Utah State pretty much all year long. Danny and his staff did a tremendous job evaluating not only talent, but the right people. So we'll try to retain these guys. We're going to get a few guys out of the portal. I imagine some guys are going to go in. It's just an ever-changing game. Our vision and our goal should be to win a national championship. If we keep our current roster and add a few guys, we certainly can do that. That's our goal, and we're fired up to try to get really good players here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, but we're excited about this opportunity.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chick.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, make sure to join us tomorrow. We'll be live at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate their grand opening Splash into Spring event, 1009 Recreation Way in North Salt Lake. So you can come on by, hang out with us, and we'll have all the goodies for you there and all kinds of fun stuff. So come to my neck of the woods.
Man, I want the NHL to come. If you missed that opening segment of the show, we jumped into NHL and Major League Baseball talk. Go back and take a listen into that, because it is becoming more and more reality, especially for NHL. And I was just talking about that NHL game last night. Guys drop the gloves and start throwing fists. Just think about some of the storylines that we'll get to talk about, Scotty.
I know. And look, again, It would not surprise me if the NHL is here in 2024. I know that's this year. Like, it would not surprise me if next season we have an NHL team here.
So you and I have got a lot of brushing up to do.
Yeah, let's roll, baby.
But it would be fun, you know, to see some of those legendary teams come through this great state. And, you know, I've been out there to the NHL games that they've brought into the Delta Center. I went on a streak of, I think it was either 3 or 4 straight years that I went out to see the Kings there in the Delta Center.
Yeah.
And it's just different. Yeah, I like the Grizzlies games because they're fun. You go out, they're affordable, it's entertainment. It's great. But when you see NHL players on the ice,
it's different.
Yeah, it's like watching college football and then watching the NFL. That's the difference.
I'd say it's like watching FCS football and watching the NFL.
Might be that dramatic.
Yeah.
It is extremely dramatic, for sure.
All right, wrapping things up here. Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray. Rich is with us one last time. And, Rich, appreciate you letting us hang out here, man. It's always so much fun. You guys treat our listeners so well. I've had so many people come by here and said, you know, I got my car here. These guys treated me right. Love it. And I'll always go back. I mean, that means a lot.
It sure does. And we try and do that with every single customer that comes in here. Treat them like they're family. That's the name of the game here. And, you know, one of the things that's really important for a lot of our clients right now is putting no money down.
Yeah.
Gee, can I get a car, you know, and I just don't have the cash to put down on it right now. Okay, that's fine. Well, pick out the car that you want, and out of my 250 used or out of my 150 new, and we'll put something together for you. And then they'll say, well, you know, Rich, when can I make my first payment? Would it be okay if I didn't have a payment for maybe like, you know, 5 or 6 months? Okay. Tell me how you want the sandwich made, and I'll make the sandwich for you. You know, that's not a problem. And so, you know, if they have no money down and they want to delay the payments, yeah, we can put that together. I got special APRs. I got bonus cash. I got forever warranty for as long as you own the car. You're covered. I don't know how much more I can add to make it more comfortable to get a car, except, you know, maybe give a massage. You know what I mean? But we're not doing that.
That's where you draw the line.
That's where I draw the line.
Okay. You're not making that sandwich?
Well, we won't make that sandwich.
That's understandable.
Yeah, you know. We'll hold the mayo, but that's about it, man.
You got $8,500 off the Leaf.
$8,500. That's a gift. Come in. Please, let me write that check for you. Okay? Can we do that for
you? That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that's a fun one, man. Pick out that car. We just had somebody in here driving that car, and when they found out there was $8,500, they're like, let's run some numbers.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're working on a deal right now.
Well, I mean, you guys are killing it. And again, the forever warranty, can't stress that enough. And that applies to the Leaf and the EVs, right?
That's right. And, you know, one of the things, we had a great month. And all of our listeners on the Sports Zone need to know that things are breaking in the car business. And now's a great time to come in and take a look at the cars because the rates are never going to be better. The prices of the cars are never going to be lower. You know, if you've been out shopping, you know, for groceries or whatever you want to buy, everything's going up, but my cars aren't.
Yeah.
You know, so now's the time to take advantage of it. And, you know, for instance, when we're getting $8,500 back on a rebate, and I have rebates for the other cars as well that are very attractive. It's just depending what car you want. And don't forget, I have the lowest priced new car in America. That's my Versa. Wonderfully equipped, a fantastic bargain at under $20,000 for a brand new car.
Wow.
Oh, please, come in and take a look at that car. I got a dozen of them sitting out here in all the different colors. It's a rainbow.
And those will get you some gas mileage, too.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, 40 miles a gallon.
Spring fever is here. Rich has got it, and he's ready to help you out. 4528 South State Street is Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Come down, check out these vehicles priced to move. Back with you tomorrow on a Friday edition of the show. JJ and Alex next, right here on The Zone.